you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, April 28th, 2017. It's Arbor Day, Jason.
It's what?
Arbor Day. I've noticed.
Oh, yeah,
that.
We celebrate that.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, so are
what
we
do you mean it's Arbor Day?
We're going to go out and plant a tree today, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, we celebrate. This is one of the big holidays for us every year. There's only three big holidays every year, and this is the one.
In fact, I think recently I got my Arbor Day renewal for my subscription, and usually they send you a little seedling. I think if you send them $20, you get to pick two or three different seedlings, and those are like tiny, tiny little sticks that you would think this thing will never grow, and you're supposed to plant it and water it and tend to it for a little while, and then you find some ground. Uh-huh. And I actually have about three trees in my yard that are now 30, 40, 50 feet tall.
Really?
And they started as little sticks that I thought, what a rip-off.
On an Arbor Day, you just
Arbor, what is it, the Arbor Foundation or it's something where you join and you get a little newsletter and you pick out some seedlings. Yeah. But I haven't renewed it. I just thought, I got so many trees in that yard. I love my trees, but I don't know. So how are we supposed to celebrate this today?
You're the one who brought it up. I really have no idea. I was not expecting we were going to celebrate Arbor Day today.
Well, okay.
Is it like Christmas where we bring a tree in the house, or what do we do?
Hug a tree today, everyone.
There you go. Hug a tree.
Have you heard that when you call those people, those are those tree huggers?
I have heard that before.
Okay, so hug a tree today, everyone. Hey, the singing men of Jena.
Yeah, right. Change the topic really quick.
Transition out of this. I didn't get to mention this on Wednesday, but a week from tomorrow on Saturday, May 6th at 6 p.m., the singing men of GNN will be presenting an inspiring gospel concert in Monticello at the Forest Preserve Park, right in that open pavilion. It's 1411 North Market Street. That's kind of where you'll park, and it's in the park there. It's the Forest Preserve Park. Basically, if you're coming from the east, as you go towards Monticello and you get off and you curve around and there's a big pavilion, it's the Forest Preserve Park. But at 6 p.m., we'll be putting on a free concert. What's unique, Roger Weisgarver's been working with the various churches in Monticello. So I think it's four or five different churches are help sponsoring the evening and helping underwrite some of the costs so it can be a free concert for y'all to come out at 6 p.m. And it'll be right in the pavilion. I think they'll have seating, but it wouldn't hurt if you have a lawn chair or something just to make sure you have good seating to come out. But we'll put on a full concert, and it's happening a week from tomorrow, 6 p.m. at the Forest Preserve Park, right there in Monticello, 1411 North Market Street. So look at Roger put this together. He's done all the legwork.
Yeah, that's great.
He's worked with the pastor. He put this poster together. It's almost something like that you would do. He has these solo shots and then the singing men group. Well done, Roger, and thanks for initiating that on behalf of the singing men of GNN.
Yeah, that's great.
Tomorrow, the singing men sing the national anthem at the Women's Big Ten Tennis Tournament.
Oh.
So now we've sang the national anthem at a football game, at men's basketball games, at women's basketball games, at women's volleyball matches, at the hockey arena a number of times. We were asked to do it at the gymnasts. We weren't able to fulfill that, but now the women's Big Ten tennis tournament. So I think we've got just about every sport covered, but that'll be tomorrow, I think, at 10 a.m., right off of St. Mary's Road, wherever they're playing the tennis, the Atkins Center, right between, I guess it's Kirby and St. Mary's, near the baseball diamond, there's the tennis courts over there. So 10 o'clock, we'll be opening up the festivities, singing the national anthem. So a lot of fun. Thank you, God, for that opportunity. The singing men are getting a lot of visibility, and so hopefully that fragrance of Christ continues to follow us around, and people are saying, now who is this group?
Yeah.
What station is this? And we trust that the Lord will then use it to woo people to himself.
Yeah. Surprised you didn't get the singing men to come out for the Arbor Day celebration.
Yeah, that's right. They must not know what it stands for. So
I Googled this while you were talking, and it says here, ideas. This is from the Arbor Day Foundation. Celebration ideas for Arbor Day. Since you brought this up, and I thought, what is he talking about? I know you're not the only crazy person in the world. So one of the ideas is you should organize, find the oldest tree in your community day today, and then have a birthday party for it with cake and ice cream. Can you imagine that? I just thought it was kind of crazy.
I don't know. You know, sharing some of this, I think we're barking up the wrong tree.
Or here for the theater troupe, write a story or produce a play about trees. I think you should call right away and get the theater troupe on that.
I think we should watch The Wizard of Oz and how those trees come out, you know, the scarecrow.
Now, in a very biblical way, this is kind of interesting. It says you could celebrate Arbor Day in a very personal way by planting within yourself the seeds of kindness and love and commit yourself then to being shade for those who are struggling and
disenfranchised.
Disenfranchised, who are hurting and that. You know, so that's kind of, that could be maybe biblical. I think that in the Song of Solomon it says that he's the giant tree and she hides beneath his shade.
I was thinking the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah,
birthed
yeah.
off of a tree. We can kind of practice that fruit of the Spirit. I thought you were going to say something else. Song of Solomon also talks about some fruit trees. So.
No, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there.
All right, so...
Well, happy Arbor Day, everybody.
Happy Arbor Day, everyone.
Or do we say Merry Arbor Day? Or is there a different one?
Yes. Hey, we have some gapers that are walking by.
I know. I mean, what if you're a spruce? Do you have to say, you know...
Spruce up today, everyone.
Happy spruce or, you know...
No, that's an idea. Somebody says, you're looking good today. It's Arbor Day. I'm all spruced up.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, open up that Bible.
Yeah, yeah. Help us, Lord. Help us now. You know, so I just randomly opened it up to Romans chapter 10.
Can't go wrong in Romans.
You really can't. You know what? Actually, Bible Study Fellowship is winding down now. I think there's only one more session left this next Monday at the First Baptist Church of Savoy at 6:45. But they're going to be having sign-ups for next year's study, which is the book of Romans.
Oh.
And so I'm excited about that. I think Romans is big and thick. Romans pretty much teaches you everything you need to know. I mean, Romans is Paul's lawyer-like argument for the Christian faith and what it means. And it's packed full of doctrine and truth. And even, you know, like Romans 7, some of Paul's own journey, what it meant to be, you know, legalistic and in Judaism and then moving out of that and into this life of Christ in Romans 8 and the freedom and dependence on Christ. But I'm excited. You know what? Actually, we're going to get a group of guys together. I don't know what it looks like yet. I'm still praying about it. To begin to read the book of Romans over the summer to prepare ourselves. Because I know that in the 20-something sessions that Bible Study Fellowship has, there is no way that they're going to get through the book of Romans. I mean, they're going to get through it because they have a pre-planned beginning. They'll end. But how you can really discuss what's in it. Because it is, I mean, you could discuss Romans 8 for weeks. And you could discuss Romans 9, 10, and 11 for months. And so how they're going to do it. So we're going to get a group of guys to go through there. So I've been reading Romans just thinking about, you know, well, gosh, Lord, you know, what would that look like to get some Bible Study Fellowship guys together and just drink some coffee and just talk about the book of Romans to get ourselves wet and ready for the study that's going to happen next year.
Gosh, Romans. Yeah, and you're working on Exodus and preaching a whole series on that. That might be, what, 6 months, a year?
The series on the Exodus I just was working on yesterday, putting together, we're going to do something different. I'm not sure what it looks like yet, so I won't say anything about what it's going to ultimately be. But I really am convicted that somehow we would have an ongoing, we have study guides now for our sermon, a little kind of folded piece of paper that gives you information for the sermon. But I'm wondering, how can we take that even a step further and offer materials that people, I think about Bible Study Fellowship, how every week you go and you get a lesson, you get notes, and you put it into your binder, and you keep that. And at the end of this thing, you've got a huge workbook that you can go back to that's all about the whatever book they cite. So this year it was the book of John. You can go back, and you've got all these notes and handwritten notes and questions and all this material information regarding the book of John. And I thought, how can we do that in the life of our church where everybody has this available to them so they can have as much as they want? They can swim as deep as they want to. So I've been putting that together, and I was lining out the sermon schedule. So it looks like we will get to chapter 15 around Christmas. And really, that's a good place to break because they're delivered through the Red Sea. Moses, for Thanksgiving, we'll cover Moses' song where Moses gives thanks to God, and then we'll break for Christmas, and we'll come back in the wilderness. And so, you know, and we'll figure that out. But really, interestingly, you know, putting together this guide, you know, just so this is where we're going to be this week. And then there's a lot of work to do to say, okay, now what are the New Testament connections? Because the Exodus has so many rich New Testament connections. You know, I mean, in the Exodus, you know, there's the serpents in the desert, and God commands them to have, you know, make this brass serpent that they lift up. And in the book of John, Jesus says, you know, just as the serpent was raised in the desert, so will the Son of Man be raised. And it's really interesting. I was reading a commentator last night who said when Moses and Aaron had the staff of God and they threw it down, it became a snake. Well, that's connected to that snake that's being raised up just as the Son of Man will be raised up. And so the commentator was saying, as Christ was thrown down, he was also lifted up. And so there's so many rich connections in the book of Exodus, because what is the book of Exodus? It's that God saves men and women out of slavery and brings them into relationship with him. That's what, and so for the Israelites then, the promised land is the promised land. It's a physical place. But for us, the promised land is Christ. And what's really interesting is we get a powerful foreshadowing of that, don't we? Because, and this is later in the book of Exodus, but God says, you know, you are a stiff-necked people, and I cannot go with you because I might kill you along the way. Yeah. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because it just means don't mess with this God. But what's fascinating in that verse is that Moses says, if you won't go with us, then I don't want to go. Moses says in that moment, We've hedged all our bets on getting to the promised land, but if we can't have your presence, the promised land is meaningless. And so, I mean, that's a foreshadowing of the fact that God's presence is actually going to be more meaningful to us than any promised land, any physical place we could ever go to. And so I love just the connections between the Exodus and what Christ has done. And so for me, it was a natural book to go into right after we did all the events of Easter, because we've seen the fruition of what God has done. Right. And now let's go to the Old Testament and see how God was working that out.
Well, I was thinking the vision that you had for this, but all the planning for a listener thinking, wow, you have to plan out the weeks and then into next year and breaks for Christmas and Thanksgiving and then how many weeks it's going to take. And it's like, wow, it really is involved. And I was thinking about with your vision, and I didn't get to say this on Wednesday, and it just popped into my head, but we were talking about the vision for the radio ministry, mm-hmm. and being mindful that our vision isn't being influenced by how we want to please men, but hear our voice from God. And I can't remember the author, but it's that book where you find out where God's working, and then you jump on board.
Sure.
I don't know. It's one of those famous books. I can picture the cover. Finding God or Knowing God. It's one of those powerful authors, but the premise is find out where God's working and jump on board.
Sure.
And I think that's often been the case for the radio ministry, is where does he seem to be working, and then how can we join in on that? Mm-hmm. And that was part of the catalyst with this international ministry, is I saw him working very effectively, reaching so many internationals and them coming to Christ, that I thought, wow, we have the center here. Maybe we could start conversational mm-hmm. English classes. That's where I saw him effectively wooing these internationals in, and then they get loved on by Christians. Then it starts spiritual conversations, and then mm-hmm. some of them coming to Christ. And I've interviewed a few over the years. I was thinking like Ferry a few years ago when mm-hmm. she came to Christ. And I sat as she would ask the questions like, now if I ask Jesus into my heart, will he help me with anger issues? Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy cow. And they said, now we understand Adam and Eve sinned, but why did God punish the animals? What did they do wrong? And I'm like, gosh, good question. But I remember them wrestling with some of these things sure. and then coming to Christ. And so one of the things with this radio ministry is find out where God seems to be working and be very intentional on, okay, Lord, utilize our facility, our energy, our efforts, our resources, so that we can kind of jump on board. So you have felt like Exodus is one of those books that God obviously has penned and we're to learn from, and it foreshadows so much of the New Testament, but there'll be points of application throughout all these messages, right?
Oh, well, definitely. I mean, I think that every single message, so when I went through and I titled all the messages, I began with God. And so God does this, because God is orchestrating every single event. The Israelites didn't arrive in Egypt by accident. they didn't arrive there, you know, by just kind of a feat of their own will. They were guided there, you know, and in a powerful moment where, you know, Joseph's brothers come, and Joseph offers them not only food but forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Joseph really exudes what it means to the character of God, what it means to give of himself. And in that, he's given favor in the house of Pharaoh, the Pharaoh prior to the Pharaoh in the Exodus. And so, you know, it's where God's people find themselves. And so they're kind of, you know, I think it's like a lot of people hanging on the promises of God and wondering what God is going to do next. And so I think the book of Exodus, I think we're all in process of some sort of Exodus. I think that that's what we do when we're calling brothers and sisters who don't know who Jesus is yet. And when I say brothers and sisters, I mean in human terms. You know, right. We rub shoulders together. Because I know some people get mad and they go, well, they're not brothers and sisters because they're not in Christ. Well, they're brothers and sisters in the world here. And I think that as we call them out of their bondage, we call them out of their slavery, we call them into an exodus, a new exodus, that where they become a new creation in Christ. And I think that's so important. And listen, the same way, and so I was studying for it this morning already, so I'm already fired up on it. And working on the materials. But I think that Pharaoh in Exodus is very typological of the world. You know, very typological of how the world sees things and how the world, you know, Pharaoh becomes very fearful because there's a lot of Israelites. Well, the world becomes very fearful when there's a lot of people who love God. You know, the world becomes very fearful when God is obviously and evidently at work, when God begins to move human systems in a way and the world doesn't want them to be moved. And so what does Pharaoh do? Pharaoh hardens his heart. Now, we know that God is hardening his heart in there. But God is only allowing naturally the inclinations of Pharaoh's own heart. Well, what does the world do when Christians raise up their voices? The world hardens its heart. And so there's so many things that are connections between the book of Exodus and what we're experiencing now that suddenly, it was really interesting. Last night I was studying a little bit, and I was texting my wife some stuff out of this commentary I was reading from the Exodus. And my wife is going, this sounds like today's headlines. Mm. She says, taken out of context and the way you're sending me these things. And I was not altering. All I was doing is cutting and pasting some sentences and sending them to her. And she's going, this sounds like today's news. And I said, yeah, doesn't it? It sounds exactly like today's news, because there is no such thing as new problems, because we all have these old hearts that are rooted back in the garden where sin began. Mm. And so I think the Exodus is a great book. And I love taking people to the Old Testament, because the Old Testament tends to be a place that we don't spend a lot of time. And so people, you open an Old Testament book and all of a sudden they're like, and you not only open it for them, but you make a connection to their life and they go, wait a second, it's no longer old. This is not, you know, I think that maybe we've done some disservice in having Old Testament, New Testament, you know, because for us old means passé and somehow we relegate it to a different place. But the Old Testament spends so much time talking about, when I preached this past weekend on the road to Emmaus, the Old Testament spent so much time talking about Jesus and talking about that Jesus is going to come. And Jesus even tells the men on the road to Emmaus, didn't you know the scripture? Don't you know what it says? Mm-hmm. You know, and then beginning with Moses and the prophets, he began to tell them all about himself. And so the Old Testament is all about Jesus. And so when we get systems that want to kind of relegate the Old Testament to something that we don't need to be worried about, it's passé, it's gone, we're getting rid of so much of the story of Jesus.
Right.
And so I love it when you get in an Old Testament book and people's eyes light up because they start seeing Jesus.
And you're going to begin or launch this new series this Sunday.
This Sunday is number one, yeah.
Now, I'll qualify this because I know where your heart is, and
yeah.
You and I have had discussions. You firmly, firmly, strongly believe people need to be in their home church on Sunday under the leadership and teaching of their pastor. But I do want to do a call out. If you don't have a church home,
definitely,
and you're looking for a place to hear some good Bible teaching and launch into this book of Exodus, the Community Evangelical Free Church meets at 10:45 on Sundays. Actually, there's Sunday school before there, but the message and the sermon's at 10:45, and it's right on Route 47. But I know we're planning an Israel reunion soon, and I was saying, hey, maybe it'd be a great time to have them come and hear you preach and teach. And you said, Mark, I know what your heart is, but mm-hmm. I prefer that they stay in their church under their pastor. I don't want to pull anyone away from where they're supposed to be. Yeah. So I know that's your heart, but, you know, if somebody maybe is tuned in, maybe they don't follow Jesus yet, or maybe they don't have a church home, or maybe it's been years since they've attended a church. Come on out this Sunday. 10:45 is the service. Very casual dress. One of the nice things that I appreciate about the Community Evangelical Free Church, I feel very comfortable wearing jeans. I mean, for so many years, you know, the Jewel Food stores, the white shirt and tie and the slacks, and it's like, I just like to be comfortable on the weekend. Yeah. And so I love being able to come and seeing a lot of other guys with jeans on so you don't feel awkward. And there's some people that dress a little nicer, but I love that they're Skip at the door with his boots on, or his cowboy boots on and his jeans
on. Well, if you come and I'm wearing a tie and a suit, either somebody's getting married or somebody's getting buried that day. Because that's the only time I really put a tie on.
Yeah, but you dress, actually, you've kind of, the last year or so, been a little more formally dressed, or business casual, kind of.
Yeah, business casual. Yeah. You know, you have in a church, you have a broad spectrum of people. And listen, if somebody comes over to my house for dinner, I'm not going to serve them the thing that I know only I like. and so, you know, you set the table because you know that you're serving other people. And so there are some people who the untucked shirt is tough for them, or that. And you know what? I never want what I'm doing to detract from what the gospel needs to do, what the gospel should do. So, you know what, if I got to tuck my shirt in and wear some slacks so that what I'm saying is heard, then, gosh, I will do it in a heartbeat. I mean, I'd rather wear shorts and just kind of be real comfortable because you know what, I mean, my job is a servant. My job is not to be served. I came to serve, and so...
Yeah. Well, after people finish planting those trees this weekend,
you have that tree birthday party.
You can have your jeans on and head out to the community.
Head out to our church.
Free church.
Yeah.
Right around 47 in Mahomet, Illinois. And what's your church phone number in case somebody has to call or needs more information?
Sure, 217-586-5165. That's 217-586-5165.
All right, everyone, get those gloves on, purchase that seedling, plant that tree, and tell us about it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones.